I would like for you this morning to turn to two different portions of Scripture. First, I would like for you to turn to the Gospel of St. Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew is the first book in your New Testament. And then secondly, I'd like for you to turn towards the tail end of your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to share this word with you all, something the Lord placed upon my heart, because we're living, I believe, in the latter days. I don't know about you, but I believe we are living in the latter of the latter days. We need to be about the Father's business. Amen? And so I want to share a word that the Lord placed upon my heart, and I want to share it, hopefully with deep conviction, in a way that all of us will be able to hear what the Lord is really expecting of all of us. And so let's turn to Matthew chapter 28 first. Matthew 28, and we're going to begin reading, of course, the very final verses here. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, and it says this: "Go ye therefore and teach," and the word there should actually be "preach." "Go ye therefore and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." And now I'd like you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want us to begin reading at verse 1, and it says this: "The second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance." This is Peter speaking. "That you will be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved," verse 8, "be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse 9, one more time, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering." I want you to say longsuffering. I want you to say patient. "He is long-suffering," or patient to usward, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I want you to say all. And I want to speak with you just for a few minutes this morning on the subject of "it's time to go." It's time to go. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would provoke us by the preaching of your word to do that which is required of us. I pray that you would help us to share, Lord God. Help us to be a people that, Lord God, won't withhold the word in our own hearts and within our own homes alone, but that you would help us to do our part in going. And so I ask, Lord, that you would speak clearly today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Yesterday afternoon, there at our house, we had a big, big pile of sticks and weeds, a big pile of old tree limbs and what have you. And my younger son, James Jacob, as we were driving back the other day, he said, "Sure, can we light the thing on fire?" I said, "Sure, let's do it." And so the next day, midday, which was yesterday, We went out there to that big pile of limbs and we threw some charcoal lighter around it, threw a match and began to burn that big old pile. And as we were standing there watching this pile of limbs burning, the heat from that flame was so strong that you couldn't stand right there. You had to stand at least 10, 15 feet away and you were still feeling the heat from that flame. And there was a huge flame just burning up into the sky. There was smoke going into the air. And the heat was so strong, all of a sudden it hit me. And I was reminded just how awful the thought of hell really is. The Bible says that there is coming what is called the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a place where those whose names are not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast. They will be thrown into that lake of fire. That lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone is a place of intense heat. And I'm standing there feeling the heat from this wood. And I begin to think, God, have mercy that there are so many multitudes of people who are living in this world that we are living in. Some of them are wealthy. Some of them have everything going well for them in their lives. But they don't even realize the reality of eternal hell. And as I was sitting there feeling the heat, I was reminded of the fact that there are people all around me that aren't serving the Lord. They're not serving Jesus. Some of them are caught up within their lives and they're oblivious to the reality of an eternal hell. And not only that, they're not even at the least bit concerned of how close and near to the end of all is right in front of us. And so as I begin to think about this, and it was just there, I didn't say it to anybody that was there. I was just there helping with the fire, but that was what was running through my mind. The Lord began to remind me of the importance and of the necessity of me and you preaching the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, the first portion that we read, you will find that the Lord is speaking to His disciples, but He's not speaking to the 12. He's not only speaking to the 12. At this point, before Jesus would ascend into heaven, there was actually a crowd of about 500 souls. It was about 500 of the early church that saw Jesus taken up into heaven. It wasn't the 120 that were waiting in the upper room. There were 500 that watched and beheld Jesus ascend into heaven. But before He went, He told them to go. And He told not just the 12, He told all. He said, go therefore and teach or preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And He says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And what I want you to understand is that the responsibility to go out there and preach the gospel is not just for the preachers. It is not just for the pastor in our churches. It is not just for the missionaries, like we saw Andy and Jen Smith working there in Honduras. Praise the Lord for that work. It's not just for evangelists or prophets or apostles. That responsibility has been given to all of us that are children of the living God. Every one of us are given the responsibility to share the good news of Jesus to those people that are around us. Amen. We have a world that we will impact. There are people in my life that you will never reach like I can reach. There are people in your life that you can reach that I will not be able to reach. There are acquaintances in your life that need to hear the gospel, and they're waiting to hear from your lips. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go and preach a 3-point sermon. That doesn't mean you have to have all kinds of scripture memorized. All you have to do and all you need is your relationship with God. And you say to God, God, give me the opportunity to share my faith. St. Francis of Assisi was a monk. He was one of those that took on a vow of poverty. Saint Francis, for those that know who he is. Saint Francis made an awesome statement and declaration, and this is what he said. He said, "You go and preach the gospel, and when you have to, use words." Our lives are living epistles, the Bible says. Epistles are letters. Our lives are living letters, open and read by all men. Most people are not at home cracking open their Bibles and reading it. But your life is going to be the Bible that they are not reading. And so it's our responsibility to preach the gospel, to share our faith. And what's amazing in the early church is how that their lives spoke the gospel. Many people were taken by the love that was expressed by the early Christians, by the care that they showed to those that were in need. Sometimes there were wars that ravaged towns, and it was the Christians that went and dug graves to bury the dead. When it was the responsibility of the Romans and the Roman Empire to do it, they could care less about humanity. It was the Christians that were showing the heart of God. Their lives were lived in such a way that people took notice of them. And their lives took on the characteristic of Christ that even the mockers, even the ones that didn't like Jesus, began to say of the people that followed after God, those are Christians. They weren't saying it happily, they were saying it derogatorily. But the Christians lived their lives in such a way that people took notice of them, and there was no doubt for all the people around them that the gospel was lived and active among even the unbelieving. When you do a study of church history, you will find that the slave that was saved shared his faith with his fellow slave. Those that were in the workplace shared their faith with others in the workplace. They shared it with the neighbors. They shared it with those that they came in contact with. But the more in love with the Lord that you are, the more prone you will be to share it. But another thing that we need to remember is that those that have not heard the gospel and have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if they are not saved, if they do not get born again, they will go to hell. And that should concern each and every one of us. Don't just assume because someone seems to be well off, well, they're a Christian. That is not the case. They need Jesus just as bad as the one that's hooked on drugs. Amen. Turn to Mark chapter 16. And I want you to see the Great Commission scriptures from this gospel as well. Because Mark includes something here that we need to remember in our proclamation of the gospel. John Mark was the associate of Peter. It was Peter that really was the one that gave to John Mark the words to write in this gospel. Starting at verse 15, it says this. Mark 16, verse 15, "And he said to them," this is Jesus speaking, "Go you therefore unto all the world." Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believes and is baptized shall be," what does it say there in your version?
Saved.
"But he that believes not shall be," what does it say in yours?
Condemned
or damned. The reality is that life is only found in Christ and in Christ alone. I'm talking about life in this world and eternal life in the world to come. Life isn't found in any other person, every other individual, any other religion, any other way. Jesus Christ is the way to life. But outside of Christ, there is no hope. But condemnation, as the scripture says. And we need to remember that there are people in our own sphere of influence that need to hear the gospel. And what this is a reminder to all of us of the importance of sharing our faith with others. We don't share our faith to bring them to pack out our church. Amen? That's not our motive. Our motive isn't just to have our church full. Our motive is that they will be saved, born again, and have an eternal home in heaven. And as they are born again, yes, they will begin to fill our church, but our motive needs to be about their soul and a concern about eternity. For if they believe not, they remain condemned. They are outside of the house of God. They're not within. But going back to 2 Peter chapter 3, I love that the Lord, through Peter, reminds you and me that he's not slack, or he's not slow, or he's not patient concerning his promise of his return, as some men count slackness, as it says there. This is chapter 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus hasn't returned because there's still many that need to be saved. I know, I want Jesus to come back. I don't know about you, amen? I'm looking forward to that day, that great appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that day when he comes to be with him. He should be our life. He should be our desire. We should look longingly for the coming and return of Jesus Christ. The blessed hope, his return. But the scripture gives the reality of this, and it is this, that he hasn't returned because there are still people that need to be saved. And some of those are within your sphere of influence. They need to hear the gospel. And God wants to use your lips for them to hear it. Like I said, it doesn't have to be a three-point sermon. But as you walk with God and you're sensitive to God, you will hear him speak to you. And he may say, tell that person, just tell them that I love them. It's very easy to say that, isn't it? God loves you. Three words. Not a three-point sermon. Three words. They may come into your home and they may, oblivious to you, may be burdened. They may be carrying a burden and they're just looking for hope. And you are the one that God wants to use to give them hope. God can use you. God can use you to speak into their lives. Amen. You can be the one planting the seed. Sometimes you don't see the result, but you plant the seed. Keep on planting. Don't stop. And God is faithful to water that seed. And he's the one that gives the increase. We must remember that friend that we have that is not serving God, as much as you love them, do you really love them enough to tell them about Jesus? Sometimes we need to be reminded of the fires of hell. Because when we begin to contemplate and begin to think about its fiery flame, and we begin to look at that person that we love but is not serving God, we should be concerned enough to tell them about Jesus. Amen? Now remember, I'm not talking about just overwhelming them and just like, I mean, all of a sudden you're all over them and they're just overwhelmed. No, we're not talking about that. But being sensitive to God and sharing the gospel with intentionality and letting them hear the truth that God loves them, that God cares, that God can save them, that God can help them through what they're going through. Amen? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying for the Holy Spirit to move on their hearts and to touch them, that they will be saved. I've told you the story of my mother when I first went to church. I left her crying at the table. You all remember that, right? But as I left her crying at the table, and I went to the Assembly of God Church there in Capulene, left her crying there. I mean, heaving crying. But I said, "Lord, I'm following after you." And I remember God spoke to me and said, "Right there, if you love father or mother, brothers or sisters, children more than me, you're not worthy of me." I left her crying. "God, I want all of you." But I remember that very same day, my mom would tell me after the fact, as she had stayed there crying, I went to church. I had some family that came to pick her up from the house, and they went to San Luis, to the Stations of the Cross over there. And she says that when I went with my family there to pray at the Stations of the Cross, she says that she came to those crosses and all those different stations, her family got down on their knees and began to offer their prayers. And she says, for some reason, I couldn't kneel down with them. Another day, she went to a dance with my dad. One of those dances of not good but bad, right? Where they want to hang around, party, and get all wild. And she says that she was sitting there at the dance and the music was starting and everything. And she says, "I was so uncomfortable, I couldn't stay. I had to leave." And God was dealing with my mom's heart. And it wasn't about 2 weeks later. She's there and she's just, I can only imagine, just thinking about her son. Her son's going to church. And I've been telling her about Jesus too. Amen? I've been telling her about Jesus is coming back. And all of a sudden, one day, she's there, and there she saw a preacher on television talking about the rapture and stuff like that. And she's, "Whoa, is this real? What is this?" One day, I was reading my books, my Bible. I had my own place on the couch. I left all my books. I got up to go, used to go outside and pray. Praise the Lord, right? But this time, my uncle came and picked me up to go to the Iron Fest. I went over there to look at cars, man. And so my uncle picked me up. He came. He said, "Hey, you want to go?" I said, "Sure." And I went. And, you know, don't ask me why I did this, but when I left my Bible, my books all there, my little clear spot where I sat. I walked out the door, and I didn't even close the door. I just left the screen door and everything open. Left everything open. So my mom came home because she had just gone to get the mail. So when she went to go get the mail, I was sitting there reading. My uncle came and picked me up, and I left. By the time she came back, I was gone. And so when she came back, she sees my stuff laying there and the door's open. So she said, "Well, James must have went to the back to pray." And so after a little while, you know, I used to go pray, but, you know, I wouldn't pray for too long, you know what I mean. But when she started saying, "Well, you know, he's gone for a little bit too long." So she went to the back to go look for me, and she finds out I'm not there. And all of a sudden she thinks, "Oh no. Is everything he's been telling me about the rapture true? Is he gone and have I been left behind?" She started like going crazy almost, wondering, "Whoa, what happened?" Eventually, my sister Melanie and all of them came home from school and she had them looking for me. She was afraid I had went on the rapture. You know, I always wondered why when I came home that night, and I walked in, everybody seemed so serious and kind of mad at me when I walked in the door, you know? All of that to say, God was dealing with her heart. And God was reaching out to her, and she was hearing the gospel. She was hearing the truth of the word in many different ways. And it wasn't about 3-4 weeks after I started attending that church and left her behind crying that my mom gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. Amen? You have an influence. You have the ability to speak into lives. You don't have to give 10-point sermons. But you walk with God and let the light of Jesus shine through you. Let people see in your life the reality of Jesus in your life. And they will begin to ask you questions and you'll be able to just answer the questions. Amen? There will be times when God, because you're sensitive to Him, as you're drawing near to Him, He will say, tell them this. Amen? He may tell you, make the point to give them a call. He may tell you to make a point to write a letter and send it in snail mail. He may tell you to get on Facebook and instant message them. But you have an inroad to lives that only you have. Are you preaching the gospel? It's time to go. He's not slack concerning His promise. He's about to return, but He's withholding His return because there are still many that need to come into the house of God, that need to be saved. He's not willing that they perish. He wants to give them an eternal home. Amen. He doesn't want any to perish. He doesn't want them to go to that place that wasn't even created for them. Hell itself was created for the devil and his angels. But God has left man with the free will, and He will never force it. But you and I can be influential in the lives of those around us. It is time to go and preach the gospel. Amen. You have a voice. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? That doesn't mean that they have to be an ordained minister, a licensed minister, a certified minister. You don't have to have all that. All you need is a walk with God and He can use you. Amen. Amen. It's time to go. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to be taking communion today. And communion is a time that we reflect and remember how Jesus gave His life on the cross to save us and to give us eternal life. But that work of the cross and what Jesus did there on the cross is effectual even for those unbelievers if they will choose to believe. It's only effectual as long as they choose Jesus. Do you all hear that? He's made it possible for every person to be saved. But it only becomes effectual upon them receiving God's salvation by faith. And so as we take communion today, I want us to take it, first of all, remembering what He did for us on the cross. Amen? But I also want you to take communion today remembering that He died on the cross for that acquaintance of yours, that family member. He died on the cross to give that soul eternal life. But how will they know without a preacher? That's why Jesus said to all of us, go you therefore and preach the gospel. Amen? If they will believe, they will be saved. If they don't believe, they will be damned. Will we share our faith? Will we begin to stop looking at the way things are and begin to realize eternity in that individual? Amen? They need Jesus to be saved. And so I want us to come and let's partake of the elements together. And as we take communion, I want you to contemplate, to think about all of this. Think about your loved ones and what Jesus did for them. And Lord willing, God help us to do our part in sharing the beautiful work of the cross to them. Amen. Amen. Let's come forward and partake. How many of you right now can think of an individual that needs to hear the gospel? I know I can think of one just right off the bat. I'm sure there's people all around us that need to hear it. Pray about it. Say, Lord, how can I share my faith? Lord, give me a sensitivity to Your voice that I will hear You when You say to share my faith. You don't have to all of a sudden go over there and just feel like you have to talk to every single one in your family that's not saved. But if God puts it on your heart to write everyone a letter, then obey Him. Leave the results in His hands. Leave it in His hand. You can't change your heart. Only God can. Amen? If God tells you to call someone, give them a call. Tells you to write to them, write to them. Tells you to go visit them, then go visit them. Amen? But listen to him. He is able to speak to you. You don't have to feel like you are in bondage to have to talk to everybody and every soul and every... You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes you can fall into condemnation because you're not talking enough. No, we're not talking about condemnation. But I want you to understand that there are individuals, and if God lays it upon your heart to do it, as you're praying, or sometimes you're just there, and all of a sudden you'll just get that. You just know you need to share your faith with someone, then obey him. And God will do something amazing if you will trust him. Amen. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. And thank God for what he's done. We remember it. Amen. He said, do this in remembrance of me. But remember, he died for them too. He died for them too. Amen. Let's partake of communion together. The Apostle Paul said this, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'm going to partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament or new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. You may partake of the juice. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. He died for you, and he died for them. He loves them. He's made a way for them to be saved. And he wants to speak to them. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory and terror. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'm not here just to play around with. I am here and I am seeking that you will turn to me with all you have.
Thank you, Jesus.
All you have to do is ask, and I will give.
Thank you, Jesus.
I have not forsaken you. I have not left you. I am here. All you have to do is raise your hand, and
Thank you, Jesus.
Will touch your hand, and I will pass through you and speak my word.
Thank you,
as
Jesus.
As you have seen this morning, my servant speaks to you.
Thank you,
he
Jesus.
He gives to you my word, and it is of truth that he speaks.
Thank
he
you,
gives
Jesus.
You from his heart all that he knows, and I will continue to bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
In a special way, as you give, and I mean as you give, not
thank
as
you, Jesus.
I give, but as you give.
Thank
I ask
you, Jesus.
Only of you. In your heart, and of your mind, and of your soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
Serve me with all you have. All you have.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord worship. Let's just praise him. Thank him from the bottom of your hearts. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord, that you are speaking to our hearts. That, Lord, there are people that you want to reach. And, Lord God, you're going to reach them through us. And so we ask, Lord, that you would anoint our words. Lord, that you would lead us. That you would give us a sensitivity to your spirit. And that, Lord God, we would not be afraid. Lord, take away the fear of stepping out. Give us the ability to step forward with you. For even as you have just spoken, Lord, as we reach our hand to you, you will reach your hand to us. But I pray, Lord, that you would give us the ability, Lord God, to trust you. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for speaking today. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, as we see, as we are looking, Lord God, upon those individuals, that you'd remind us of your word in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that, Lord God, you have given us the ability to give. And as we give, you will give through us as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. We cherish your word. We honor your word. Lord, we give you thanks because we know that you are faithful. And so we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand of a clap offering today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God is good. And all the time. That's all right. Praise the Lord. If you don't mind bringing your cups up to this thing so we can get rid of...